Joining us now, he is, of course, a communication expert who helps people, whether they're individuals giving a presentation, a speech, or even just mixing socially. He works with work teams. Anyone can work with this gentleman, and you can find him at evanthompsonandassociates.com. Welcome back to the show, Evan Thompson.
Thank you very much, Allison. Great to be back.
Well, it is lovely to, I mean, not to see you, but to talk to you.
Well, we just have to just work with what we have, and we're not alone in this, I'm sure.
Well, no, of course not. And, Cassandra is co-hosting with me this week. She's doing quadruple duty, I guess. Cassandra, how many jobs do you have now?
Oh, I can't even count. I lost. My head exploded.
Yeah. Yeah. Hi, Cassandra.
How are you, Evan? Thank you for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Nice to be on with you after all the conversations we've had in the past years. Side by side, almost.
Exactly. And now we're finding a new way to communicate. And what better way to have my co-hosting debut with Allison communicating with you, you're the expert. You're the tops, as I might say.
Thank you very much.
I think it's very timely that you're here too, Evan, because I was saying off the top of the show to Cassandra, one thing that I've had to do, mostly on Facebook, is I've had to unfollow or snooze a lot of people because the particular brand of post that is not working for me right now is people who... mostly conspiracy theorists, and I just can't. And in some cases, I would try to say to people, like, listen, here's the piece you're missing. A lot of memes are going around, right? Mm-hmm. This killed this many people. This killed this many people. We didn't stop the world then. Why are we stopping it now? And what I was doing is going on and going, listen, here's the difference between that situation and this situation. And then what I realized is, nobody, the people that are sharing these things don't actually care about the logic or the science behind it. They've decided it's a conspiracy, and that's it. And I'm making myself insane by trying to engage these conversations. And so I need to check the way I communicate and the way I receive other people's communications.
Well, I certainly share your pain to a degree. You know, when people reach out to us, people who have been, you know, good online buddies over the years, and they start to get a little squirrely, and they start to go where they shouldn't on the internet, and they find new sites, because this is really, in many cases, what they have to do the entire day. So in their eyes, often the best communications, the best tweets, the best posts are emotion driven, not fact driven. And that is so key in this troubled time, because we're bombarded with information. It's easy to say, let's ration ourselves. Let's take an hour a day of COVID-related information and work with that and digest it. But it's so easy when we're online just to go deeper and deeper, link by link, until, as you say, we're almost out of our minds with the glut of information. And as Cassandra says, our heads are ready to explode. So you have to show some tough love with these people. You don't really necessarily need to shut them down or tell them they're nuts. Simply counter their argument or their message with something like, I appreciate your input. However, you might be interested to know that, and give them a factoid, give them something that, if you have the time to find it, that will rebut their conspiratorial claim that they've dredged up from somewhere at some time.
Yeah, I see what you're saying for sure, and I think in some cases, like I look, I've only called one person crazy, that's
good
because
for you.
He was the person I know the most, and I didn't actually say he was crazy. I just said, "Uh-oh, you veered into crazy town," because he 1,000% did. However, I think also what I'm trying to do is. Again, listen, if this is a conversation they start with me or they address with me, that's one thing. But it's like if they have just posted this on their Facebook wall and it's their opinion and it's their whatever, I don't have to engage. That's the part that I'm working on is the fact that it's like, listen, whatever. My job here is not to necessarily change their mind or make myself stressed out trying to change their mind.
Absolutely. You know, and you can do this graciously. You don't have to, you know, shame them or minimalize them. There's a tendency I'm sensing to call people on their opinions in a public space, i.e. on social, and call them out as being wrong or misguided. Or just generally shaming them. You don't need to do that because it doesn't reflect well on your brand. I think if people start to go off track, some start going low and taking shots, just nasty shots at others, whether they are government people trying to fix this mess as best they can, some people will want to go back in time and start blaming from day one when this whole mess began. That's sort of going low. That doesn't really serve any purpose. If you and your response can bring them into the future, acknowledge the present, but then bring them into the future and say, you know, we will get through this. That was then, now is now. Let's move forward together. And when you start talking like that online, you are above any criticism whatsoever, because no one can dispute the value of working together, moving forward together.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Sounds sort of, leadership 101, but it's really true. And then, you know, your followers see you as a person who goes high, to paraphrase Michelle Obama, I think 4 years ago, whatever it was, and then your brand is very much intact.
Yeah, I think it's you know what, it's also not with social media and messaging and stuff like that, we can react to things so instantaneously, and I think I am someone who, especially if something annoys me or makes me angry, like I need to walk away before responding. And so or else I will respond in a way that I don't feel like is going high, right? And I don't like that when I do that. I don't like who I am in that moment. And then I have to backtrack and be like, oh, I never should have made that comment. And so it's also kind of, yeah, before hitting send, going, 10 minutes from now, am I going to stand behind this statement? And is this who I want to be in this moment?
My heart nearly stopped the other night when I saw a tweet from a person who I believe is still very intelligent, very, very mindful and aware. But she was triggered by a retweet of something that the President of the United States had uttered, and she just literally flipped out online. She used the F word in a tweet, which is pretty powerful stuff. I mean, it depends on your brand and where you're coming from. We've seen it many times, but from her, it really disappointed me. And it really caused me to step back and wonder, is she okay?
Right.
How is she really feeling? And it's easy to ask forgiveness, but it's very hard to ask permission. And no one asks permission before you let loose on social.
No, it's very true. And it's, I have said this many times before, is that I will often tweet things and then 1 minute later go, no, delete that. And which is, I mean, all well and good, except for we all know that in that 1 minute, screen caps exist. And mm-hmm. it's not that anything I've ever, I don't think there's anything that I've ever tweeted that I couldn't, you know, that I would have to be really ashamed of, but it's so easy on Twitter to be negative. And I think sometimes I've tweeted something and gone, you know what, that's not what I want to put out in the world. That's not who I want to be. And that's usually the cause of taking it down. Either that, or every now and again, I'll tweet something political and then immediately delete it because I don't want to fight with people, especially not on Twitter. Like, I just forget it. But yeah, I think it's, again, it's that emotional response in a medium where, sure, they've given us 280 characters now, but it's still not enough to have a conversation about issues that are nuanced.
Absolutely. And especially in these times mm-hmm. where the nuance of isolation is incredibly profound and difficult for people to navigate, understand. They're pent up. Mm-hmm. They use social for this vitriol that they feel rising inside them. You know, who can we blame for COVID-19? Where did it start? And then it just goes from there. And then the chain reaction hits, which is classic Twitter hysteria. And then you can expose yourself and wish you, as you've said, wish you've never done it.
Yeah.
And it works that way in conversation, you know, face to face. If we're holed up with a partner, or maybe we're living alone, we're all under a certain amount of pressure because our routines are changing, and we're trying to find ways to stay focused on staying focused, not drifting from one activity to the other. So our conversations can become really long and drawn out and go in circles when we're distracted and we're not really thinking about what we're saying.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because there might be some couples or people that are living together now that would have normally not have, you know, been living together if it wasn't for the situation. For example, I'm living with my boyfriend, but we never lived together before. And now we're kind of forced to figure out, you know, how to communicate together, especially with the pressure and the reality of the situation that we're all kind of going through. And so we'll go through waves of everything being okay, but then there are times where we're kind of pissing each other off. What advice do you have for people that are living together, but are kind of forced to in the situation, and they're learning to communicate with these circumstances?
Well, quite simply, I'd say take baby steps and always try and put yourself in the position of your partner. They may be wanting to be quiet, to read, to relax, but you may be full of all sorts of pent-up energy and you want a conversation. You want to play charades, you want to kick up some music. It's really, really difficult sometimes, if you don't know the person extremely well, to get in the groove and get in the rhythm of their thought processes and their communication needs at the time. So you just have to be super observant. And I'm not suggesting draw up an agenda for the day.
Right.
Scheduled activities are helpful, but sometimes it just won't work for both people. It might work for one, but not for the other. So this is where your empathy and your emotional intelligence and just putting yourself in the position of your partner comes through.
Evan, do you think there's anything wrong with saying to that person that you're, you know, quarantined with, that partner or that person, hey, I need a bit of alone time. I need a little space today. Do you think there's something wrong with asking that type of thing?
I think absolutely not, Cassandra. That's probably the best anything you can do to move your relationship further forward by being honest. And rather than go along with their wish to, you know, kick on some music or do some cardio,
yeah,
just say, I'll get back to you later. Why don't we regroup around 5 this afternoon before dinner? I'm just going to go and crash for a while or read.
Right.
Yeah, that's so important. You've got to be honest with yourself and check in with yourself. And then with the other, you know, people can't read your mind. And I think that's one. Look, we all know I'm a relationship expert. And I think that...
In agreement, yeah.
One of the downfalls I see happening to, you know, people around me a lot of the time is wanting their partner to anticipate their needs. But in many cases, that is almost impossible. And so being able to just say, like, listen, you know, I need to be by myself. And I'm someone who, I mean, look, I'm isolating just me and Chili, which is fine because Chili doesn't talk a lot. But if my roommate was, in fact, here, there would be so many times where I would have to go into my room and be by myself or be like, you know, I need you to not play your snare drum for a bit, but say it nicer than that.
That could be sort of annoying, I could see, at certain points during the day or night.
Listen, I tell you, when he came home with that snare drum, I was like, this is bad news. And apparently he's been paying it for like 2 hours a day.
No.
Can you imagine being isolated with that?
No.
So, you know, we would have to really be communicating right now. Instead, he went to his parents' house, which is much, much better for both of us. But, yeah, you've got to be really honest with each other, I think, for especially the smaller space you're in. Like, to me, the more space you have, that's the real luxury and premium for people right now, is that if you're able to get to opposite ends of the house, you know what I mean? That's great. Take some time apart. Because I'm someone that definitely needs my alone time. And so, you know, if Sean was here, there would be times where I'd be like, you have to get out.
Do you know, the fun really begins, and I use fun in quotations, when you have two newly matched people, one of whom is an extrovert and the other is an introvert. For many introverts, this is an amazing time, just acknowledging all the suffering and pain that's coming out of it in their world when they're isolated, when they're free of all this suffering. It can be really liberating for them. They can read. They can do whatever they want. They don't have to engage others. If they introduce a partner into the mix, who's really outgoing and needs to chat all the time and needs to be on the phone, needs to be on Zoom, FaceTime constantly, that can be really exhausting. Mm-hmm. So I imagine there are a lot of people who had to make the hopefully not too difficult a decision to cohabit as of, say, 2 weeks ago when COVID really started to rear its ugly head. And it was either distancing or get to know each other really well, really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to think that it's going well for most, if not all.
Well, yeah, I think it's... That's one very interesting thing is I think this is going to be a make or break situation for a lot of relationships because the one thing that I was saying to someone is like, I think what you really know, like obviously when things are good and easy, being in a relationship is great and it's fun, but it's when the chips are down that you kind of find out who each other really is and that compatibility level. And the chips are down right now.
They're way down. How many conversations have you had with friends who have partners and they talk about a very long car trip or plane trip or summer vacation that they spent when they were together all the time. Do you ever hear the word, well, we survived a month in Australia, or we survived 18 hours on the return flight? And for good reason, that can be very stressful being in those close quarters.
Yeah, it's, yeah, it's, I'm so interested to see not only, I mean, especially relationship-wise, but then also sort of we as people, what changes come long-term from this situation.
My instinct is that we will see more breakups than divorces.
Right.
Just for one reason, you know, the economic necessity of two can earn more than one, assuming one at least is working. So the thought of, you know, more divorces doesn't come to mind immediately. However, less committed relationships are being put to the fire in many cases. Not all are stressful. Some may come out the other end stronger than ever. Mm-hmm. And that's what we all hope for when we commit to a person. And then we find ourselves in these incredibly unusual, rare situations where we're together all the time.
Yeah. I don't know if Chili and I are going to make it.
Well, lots of tummy rubs. Yeah. I'm talking about you.
Me.
On Chili. Or we. What are you? Oh, whatever.
Chili's going to give Al a tummy rub.
Oh, you know, on the topic of pets, pets are barometers. They read emotions. They read people. They know what we're feeling. So if you really, really love your pet, try and keep focused and just keep things, you know, as chill as possible. And try not to succumb to this, I am so sick of this, when is it going to end, and get anxiety brought, you know, into the room. Easier said than done, I know.
Yeah, no, I think the first couple of weeks I was carrying around a level of low grade anxiety all the time, and you know, constantly checking numbers and all that kind of stuff. And I do think that Chili was a lot more anxiety ridden as well, until I kind of settled into you know, we, as human beings, adaptation is what we do. And so I think it's, you know, I've kind of settled in at a different level. And so he's settled down as well.
And dogs adapt as well. We sent our dog away for a short holiday for 3 nights to a farm where she could just run and just relax, and it was good for us to do that, because she's sort of the child in the house now. Mm-hmm. And we were really bestowing so much attention on her. We were overfeeding her, we were over petting her. I think she was getting a little freaked out at all this attention. So we thought, no, let's give her a break. And that works for adults too. A lot of stress comes when you're always checking in. How are you feeling? Are you okay? What do you want to do tomorrow? You know, always being too mindful, too watchful of the person that you're with, your partner, your husband, your wife, whomever. And we just need to just step back a bit and not look so anxious.
Yeah, and you know, you are a communications coach. EvanThompsonAssociates.com is where people can find you. How has all of this impacted business for you?
I'm happy to say that it's very, very robust and steady. My relationship with some of my clients has changed in that I've become more of an ear than a provider of communication services, and it's brought me closer to my clients as I listen to them as they want to offer mm-hmm. their thoughts and their fears and concerns. So it's been hugely informing, and so odd that it's such a dreadful time, but some good does come of this. Mm-hmm. Some good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think it is, you know, it's important to remember and be our most careful for the people who have gotten sick and people who have passed away. But it's also important to look for the silver linings, right? And to remember that it's not all doom and gloom, and there are positives, even sometimes we can't see them right now. And that's very important as well for people, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, and just be mindful of the other person, whether the other person might be many people, you know, on your social feed. Just be mindful of, you don't know what they're enduring, what they have just endured, or what they're fearing. So you do try and, as we were saying earlier, go high. Keep the conversation on a higher ground, as opposed to going deep into pointing and blaming and shaming. No one needs that right now.
No, yeah, that's very important. And I think the other thing is, too, you know, when you talked about overly checking in with people and constantly being like, how are you doing? It's interesting because I think also right now, sometimes if people are feeling good, they feel guilty for not feeling bad.
Yeah.
You know, it's, again, we're navigating this insane time, and it's, you know, trying to just figure out the best way to kind of, yeah, to communicate with each other. It's very hard.
Well, this too will pass. And ideally, you know, we're learning about ourselves and our strengths, but it's a great time to step up, you know, for others. And I think we learn more and we benefit more when we do step up and we do help others and we do donate to food banks and we do look in on a neighbor or call someone who's shut in. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take a lot of time. Even though it's a change from our routine, it can really lift us up and them up. And that's what the best communication does.
Absolutely. Well, Evan, thank you for communicating with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
And we will continue, of course, to check in with you as usual, just in a slightly different medium until we get back to the days where we can see you in studio.
Great. Look forward to it. Believe me.
And again, everyone can go to evanthompsonandassociates.com to find out how you can work with Evan. And we will be right back on The Breakdown, Channel 167, Canada Talks.